This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, hey. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good to have you with us. And we're happy to keep you company if you're stranded somewhere without fuel in your car. I don't know if this applies to anyone who's listening right now. But I got to tell you, I have friends who are stranded in North Carolina on vacation because there's no gas to put in their car. And I've got other friends that are friends and family members that are kind of doing the same thing that a lot of people did with toilet paper last spring at the beginning of the pandemic when people freaked out over toilet paper and started hoarding it. Have you seen some of the videos or photos on social media? Maybe it's just a regular news network, whether on TV or if you're watching them or following them online. There are people who are taking every gas can they can possibly find to the gas station to fill them up. I even saw one photo. This couple looked like they had 7-8 gas cans and they're filling them up. And then I saw another chick, and I wish I could place this photo. I just saw it on Twitter. She's putting gas into a plastic bag. People are freaking out. And yet, because of what happened with the pipeline that delivers gasoline to a good portion of the East Coast, because of that pipeline getting hacked and essentially held for hostage from some high-profile hackers who are looking for financial retribution. With that whole hacking mess, now there are states that have had their gasoline supply cut off. And I even saw that in North Carolina, 10% of the gas stations are without fuel. And so if you happen to be in a place in North Carolina where you can't get gas, I guess you're kind of stuck. And so, yes, thinking of my friends tonight as they are, well, changing their vacation plans because they can't get out of North Carolina, at least right this moment. And so my brother and his family, they live in Virginia. And I was communicating with both my brother and sister-in-law on Tuesday evening, telling them, you better go fill up your cars with gas. Now, they're getting ready to leave on vacation themselves. They're going to Miami and then on down to the Keys for vacation. And so their cars will be sitting for a bit. But I said, you better fill up your tanks before you go. Hopefully, the whole thing will be resolved by the time they get back. But yeah, I kind of feel fortunate. I feel grateful that I already came through South Carolina and North Carolina, though I don't think I filled up my tank in North Carolina. I actually think I filled it up in South Carolina and in Beaufort when I was leaving on Saturday morning. And then I got all the way to Virginia, just south of Richmond, Virginia on 95 before I had to fill up. My car gets really good gas mileage. And so I can go the entire state of North Carolina without filling up on gas. So it wasn't me. I didn't take any. I just filled up in New Jersey on, I guess it was Sunday night coming into work. because I had gotten all the way home on that tank of gas from Virginia. And I filled up, and I still have 3/4 of a tank, but I'm thinking maybe I better fill up again. Not to mention, my lawn looks like a jungle because I haven't mowed in, it'll be 3 weeks by this weekend. And there was a bunch of rain in my neighborhood while I was gone on vacation. And so the lawn is really thick, and there's weeds popping up everywhere, especially in the back. The front yard's okay, but the grass is getting really tall, and I've just been waiting for it to dry out a little bit so that I can get the lawn mowed, and I do actually need gasoline for my gas can. So I wonder if I should go to the gas station and explain I'm not hoarding gas. I'm legit getting it for my lawnmower. Oh my gosh. I hope you aren't one of those people who's stranded. But if you are, maybe it's a good time to get back on that bicycle again. You know, they say it's like riding a bike. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to get to your calls here in a second, but I wanted you to hear Draymond Green, because when Dre is salty, it's just better. The Warriors earned their 4th consecutive win on, and this is without a Steph Curry performance like what we've become accustomed to this season. But they win their 4th straight game, and they do it against the Phoenix Suns that they were playing in this game. And it's Draymond Green who has a triple-double. He finishes with 11 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds, also has 4 steals. And afterwards, because the Warriors are in the play-in tournament, right, we're not talking about them having a first-round matchup without having to go through potentially the Lakers, but maybe another team as well. But they're playing some of their best basketball of the year. And so Draymond was asked after the fact about the comparisons or the idea that this Warriors team in 2021 is like the We Believe team, kind of scrappy, maybe could make some noise and win a first round playoff series like that team did as an 8 seed going back to, it was 06-07. And he decides that he's going to set the record straight, and he doesn't want any comparisons about We Believe.
You know, the We Believe days are over. We won 3 championships. I'm not part of no We Believe team. And like I said, that's no disrespect to the OGs that came before me. I love those guys, and what they started here is incredible. Jay Rich, Saginaw's finest. You know, no disrespect to them at all, because what they did was incredible. But no, we're not no We Believe 2.0.
Got back and on our team.
Wait, so somebody interrupts him right at the end. Can we hear that end? Because that's the money cut. What dopey reporter starts talking over Draymond's like big moment?
No, we're not no We Believe 2.0.
Got back and on our team.
That makes me angry. He ruined it. You ruined it. I hate Zoom calls. I hate Zoom. Sorry, Zoom. It's a good word. It's a great company. Lots of people have used it. No, I can't. No, no more. I'm ready for face-to-face interviews and face-to-face reporter scrums. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. If you missed it, Dre said, we ain't no We Believe 2.0. We got bleeping Steph Curry. Uh-huh. I'm with you there. That's a completely different situation. All right, let's see. We've got callers on the phones. Let's talk to Paul, who's in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call, Amy. Always love the show. It's like a beam of sunshine and even in the darkest night. So,
thank you.
But I just wanted to weigh in real quick on 2 things, the gas situation here in Charlotte. We have 5 stations within about a half mile from where I live, and all but one of them were out of gas yesterday. Mm. And I nearly got run over by a soccer mom in a Denali trying to get to the pump to try to cut in front of people. It's amazing what a little bit of a crisis does to people's kind of attitude. But
that's true.
So that's the situation here. And we were supposed to go up to New York this weekend. My mother-in-law died from the coronavirus, and we had to put off her funeral because of New York's laws and regulations. We were supposed to go up this week, and now We're kind of wondering if we can even make it because of the gasoline situation. So it's a really big thing down here right now.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your mother-in-law. I hope that you can. I'm thinking that in a few days, heavens, that the pipeline should be fully operational. I had thought that they were moving toward a resolution, but I guess it's become a little more dire.
Yeah, you know, it seems like things like this always, there's one pipeline that kind of feeds the south, and the same kind of thing happened a couple years ago when they had the hurricane in Houston. So, you know, I think we're just kind of a victim of very limited infrastructure when something goes wrong. And they're saying by the weekend it should be okay, but, you know, I don't think it's a critical situation, but that's the way things are right now. And I just wanted to weigh in real quick on the NBA ratings real quick. I used to be a Charlotte Hornet ticket holder, and I gave them up just because the regular season was just so, I almost felt like they were stealing money from me because the games were just so awful. Awfully played. I just think that the game is in a really bad spot right now. And I think that the play-in tournament is good. I think that brings a little bit of excitement to it, kind of like the relegation fight in English soccer. It's like even at the bottom of the table, you've got something to watch and something that's exciting. So I think that's a good thing. But I think the NBA has really done itself wrong with the state of the game the way it is now. And I'm not going to get into politics, but I think the politics the NBA has exposed has really, really hurt itself. And, you know, I hope they turn around, but I think right now the game's in not too great of a place. So that's all I had to say, and I appreciate you and appreciate your show, and thanks so much for taking my call.
All right, Paul, good to hear from you in Charlotte again. I hope you can get that gasoline and get up to your mother-in-law's service. Let's talk to Edward, who's in Santa Clara, California. Welcome to After Hours.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the last gentleman actually stole my thunder. That's what I was going to say, is it's politics. I think baseball and basketball, they've really gotten involved with politics, and that's really angered a lot of people. You know, they, of course, use sports as a get-away-from-reality type thing where, you know, you want to get away from politics, you want to get away from hate, and now they're infusing hate in baseball and basketball, a little bit in NFL, but not as much as basketball and baseball, and I think that's why the NFL, their ratings are still high. Plus, football has always been, I think, the more popular of all the sports as far as viewing on TV goes.
Well, wait, just to clarify, you say infusing hate. I would say that the hate part only comes in if you don't agree with the NBA's politics, right? It doesn't have to be hate. I'm on that same kind of path where I wish that sports and politics and sports and sports and whatever, you know, whatever social cause or social justice could be kept separate, but that's not the world that we live in. I mean, it's you know, these are human beings and they're passionate and they have a platform, and the NBA has decided to allow them to use it, whatever that means, whatever the impact. I don't know that the league is infusing hate. I mean, you can't hold the league responsible for what individual players might do or say. But I would say that if you don't agree with the league's politics or the league's stance, then maybe you might not want to tune in as much. But you have to admit, Edward, there are a lot of people out there who appreciate what the NBA is doing in allowing, whether it be individual players to speak up, whether it be different slogans on their jerseys, different words on the court. There are a lot of people who might tune in because of that, not tune out because of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just depends on if you don't go down the road of hypocrisy. I mean, I understand, of course, that nobody wants hate. Nobody wants racism. None of us want any of that. It's just, if you're going to be talking about love, you should be consistent and not say, well, we're going to defund or box.
Okay. We're not going to do the political stances. I understand what you're saying. You don't appreciate necessarily with their stance. I mean, you don't appreciate, you don't agree with it in some cases. And I think that there are a lot of people who are in the same camp as you. But my point is, there are people who appreciate what the NBA is doing too. I mean, we know our country is very divided when it comes to politics, when it comes to some of these issues. And so, yeah, as many people as might not want to see it with their basketball, there are people who appreciate it with their basketball. So, just to kind of summarize, I think that may be part of the reason, but I don't know that it's the whole reason. I would say the product itself is also, it's different. I've often said that I can't stand ISO ball. I can't stand the constant jacking up of three-pointers. And so the style of play in the NBA, not every team, but the majority of teams, these days I just don't enjoy watching the product on the court anymore. So that may be part of it as well.
Yeah, and football has always been more popular anyway. I mean, baseball's kind of slow, and basketball, I guess, it is expensive to go to the game. And you can watch it on TV, but unless your team's winning, most people aren't really going to watch basketball unless their team's winning.
I mean, they've expanded the playoffs, so now 10 teams from each conference make the postseason, so they're trying to get more people sucked into the end. I appreciate your opinions, Edward. Thanks so much for your phone call in Santa Clara. Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of people, especially if you are on the opposite side or you are in a different camp as the NBA's politics. I mean, politics is an umbrella word and a trigger word. Certainly the NBA has allowed its players and has also used the league itself has used its power to promote different causes, to take some stands, and whether you agree or don't agree, that's an element that we've seen with the NBA more and more over the last two seasons. So yes, I will give you that, and absolutely, it's more prominent in basketball than it is in hockey or baseball or football. However, there are people who appreciate it. There are fans who think the NBA is the leader in that area. And there are certainly fans who believe that other leagues should be doing more. I mean, I've heard criticisms of the NFL for trying to, you know, to walk that kind of walk the fence or walk the middle line and not doing enough or, you know, backing down from opportunities because it doesn't want to be controversial. So I think it really depends on the lens that you look through. I don't know that that's solely the reason for this decline in NBA ratings, because as I mentioned, just before we hit the top of the hour, going back to the 2011-12 season, so a decade ago, since that time, the NBA's games on ABC have dropped 45%. So that's not all in one year. It's not just because of the pandemic. ABC is its primary partner and it's over the air TV, right? So you don't have to have a cable package to watch ABC. And in the last decade, NBA games on ABC have nearly been cut in half in terms of TV viewership. Now, I'll give you the other networks so that you can use them for comparison. Since the 2011-12 season, NBA broadcasts on TNT were down 40% and on ESPN down 20%. Okay, so if you're looking big picture and you're going back over the last decade and you're seeing that the ratings on ABC have been chopped nearly in half. On TNT, they're down 40%. On ESPN, they're down 20%. Well, that predates, for the most part, this decision by the NBA to use its games, to use its platform as a way to promote particular causes, whether it be social justice, whether it be police reform, whatever it is. Again, I hesitate to use the word politics because I don't think that's fair. Some of these are human interest issues. And whether or not you agree with the way the NBA is doing it, you can't just dismiss it all as politics. But regardless, that's been more prominent in the last two or three years. The ratings have been steadily declining for a decade. But now, and I don't know if this is rock bottom or not, now to compare the ratings with the bubble from last fall, when, you know, the idea was, okay, they're in a bubble, they're out of their regular time slot in the calendar, people in the midst of a pandemic have other priorities, they've stopped watching TV as much, people don't care about sports as much, it feels like, you know, they're Viewing habits have shifted in a variety of ways. People are getting rid of cable. They're cutting the cord, all of those things. Well, last year's bubble viewership is still 13% higher than what they're seeing right now this season. With 72 regular season games, largely in the same time frame as what we normally see with the NBA, going back to Christmas Day, or right before Christmas, that's when the season tipped off, the NBA is down 13% from the bubble and averaging not even 1.5 million viewers per game collectively on ESPN, ABC, and TNT. Now, that's scary. If I'm Adam Silver and I'm the league offices, I'm freaking out over it. The bubble was supposed to be the aberration. It was supposed to be the exception to the rule. And as it turns out, the ratings in the bubble are 13% higher than what they are this season. And so you got yourself a problem. And I think it's probably a combination of things. It's what I was just talking about, pandemic viewership and priorities for Americans. Definitely the social justice and the decision to use the league and its platform to get way outside its lane. I'm being somewhat tongue-in-cheek. You understand what I'm saying. To jump into some of these more controversial issues. And then the fact that the product itself, at least in my opinion, is not nearly as entertaining as what it was 10 years ago. So I think it's a combination of things. Maybe it's the lack of a rivalry. I mean, we had Cavaliers and Warriors going to 4 straight NBA finals, and people were all in for those games. Those finals rated really well. Is it the lack of a likable superstar? LeBron is a lightning rod now, for sure. I mean, he's always been, but even more so now. Not to mention he hasn't, for those people who love him, he hasn't been on the court. He's played, what, 20? I mean, he's missed 22 of the last 25 Lakers games. Kyrie is not likable. I mean, his game is great on one of the court, but he's not a likable superstar. Kevin Durant, he's salty. And a lot of people have soured on him when he left Oklahoma City. The Warriors haven't been in the playoffs in 2 years, though people love Steph. James Harden, I think, turned a lot of people off. Not only have the Rockets just faded and kind of blown up in the playoffs, but the way he forced his way out of Houston. And I think the Greek Freak is popular, but the Brewers, the Bucks haven't been able to break through and capitalize on his back-to-back MVP seasons. So there's a lot there. And I don't think it's one factor. I think it's a variety of factors. But if you have some theories, I'd love to hear from you. And again, I'll be the first to admit, I don't enjoy the product in the NBA as much as I used to. I used to love the NBA. And I can't stand ISO ball. I can't stand constant threes. I can't stand the nonstop whistles and the flopping. And you hand check someone and there's a whistle. Basketball used to be a contact sport. I mean, all of these things. But it's not just me. I mean, I have to watch for my job, but man alive, not even 1.5 million viewers per game this season on average. That's stark. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you would rather reach out on social media. And then on our Facebook page, too. And while you're there, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Good to have you with us on this edition of The Hump Show, After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hero. Trying to find some space, pulls up for the long shot. Got it from downtown. Tyler Hero's third tray. And I'm sure they just absolutely can't believe it. Hero, a double-double. 21 points and 10 rebounds for Tyler Hero. Bam. Quick pass to Goran Dragic. Dragic had it knocked out of his hands, but he got it back and hit a follow-away jumper. The Dragon with 17. Dragic fielding the three. And why not as he buries another one, his fifth from downtown. And Boston's going to take a timeout. What a great time for the Dragon to come alive.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Inglis on the Heat Radio Network. And kind of nice when you can have both Goran Dragic, the Dragon, and Tyler Hero, who, remember, was so critical for the Heat run to the Eastern Conference Finals and then, of course, to the NBA Finals a year ago. Those two guys combining for 41 off the bench for the Heat. And boy, do they love playing the Celtics. I think I saw this stat where against the Celtics in back-to-back games, Miami has shot 57% from the floor. So that doesn't bode well or speak highly of the Celtics defense against Miami. So beware, the Heat are rounding into form. And as I said about the Lakers and other teams that have veteran leadership and guys who have playoff experience, they will be dangerous even if they don't appear to be so right now. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Wait, is that the movie, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Again, NBA viewership is down 13% in this final week of the season. That's a cumulative look. We're not talking about 1 week or a snapshot. Over the course of what's been roughly 70 games now, the NBA viewership is down 13% from the bubble. From the bubble. We're not talking about from the season before that. We're talking about from an aberration in Orlando bubble. This is also just a personal thing. I can't stand the pumping crowd noise. I know they've had it for a lot of events. For whatever reason, it feels so much more obnoxious inside NBA arenas. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's work on a couple of calls here. David is listening, Dallas. David, what do you think?
Okay. I agree with you. I take a little exception to the word politics being infused in it. But for the sake of argument, let's just use that word.
No, let's not. Let's not. Let's use...
Okay.
The NBA wants to be an activist, okay? The league as a whole activism. Wants to be activism. Yes.
Okay, activism. That's a good one. Okay, but sports has always been infused with activism. I mean, you look at the Russia Olympics. You look at the L.A. Games where Russia boycotted us after we boycotted them. You go back to Joe Louis. You go back to Jesse Owens. You can go all the way back to Jack Johnson. There is no separation, and quiet as it's kept, the only difference now is that there are more people who might not agree with what they're talking about.
Well, I would say in a country that's divided, David, there are probably as many people that do agree with it. But the difference is, a little bit of the difference is, you mentioned Olympics, and I would say Muhammad Ali is another one that certainly combined social activism and made his statements. I think the difference is maybe now is that in the NBA, whereas it's different with the NFL or the National Hockey League, you can't get away from it. It's on jerseys. It was on the court. I mean, the league made the decision not to put anything on the courts this season because that, according to their focus groups, was really a turnoff, and that's not what people wanted to see. So I think the NBA is very blatant about it, and it's very in your face. And let's be honest, they've got a couple of high-profile stars who have chosen, you know, to use their social media in this way or to take really prominent stands. And yeah, I mean, it's divisive to be sure. And while I'd agree with you, there's never been complete separation. I think some leagues do a better job of not necessarily being in your face about it. And so like the NFL, for instance, I know people want to complain about the NFL being political. Again, I hate that terminology. But what's different is that once the game starts, you don't see any of that. So if I don't like to see people kneeling during the national anthem or not standing during the national anthem, you know what? I just don't watch it. I don't watch the national anthem. And then once the game starts, it's all about the football, where it's been a little bit different in the NBA.
Okay. And one other thing I tend to say is that the players are more out there because the environment is more out there. Mm-hmm. The crises that we're going through and the divisiveness and the brutality and all the different things that they're active on is more prominent than ever before. So consequently, you're going to see them more active than ever before.
If they choose to, yes. But the thing is, David, the NBA has chosen to allow it, to foster it. And let's be frank about it, David. In a couple of cases, the NBA has, or athletes inside the NBA have been flat out wrong. So jumping to conclusions, putting stuff out there on social media, the NBA promoting that and allowing that, and then having to walk it back because it was wrong. The situation with China is an unmitigated disaster. And somehow the NBA got, I mean, I think that turned off some people too, but the NBA decided that it was willing to die on that hill, and that blew up in its face.
Yeah. And I mean, there was no winning that. I don't even know why they jumped in it, but there was really no win at all in that China
money
discussion.
Because of money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, I've got to run. I'm at work.
Okay. Awesome.
But I appreciate you giving me more latitude than normal. But, yeah, I just think that there's more going on, and that's why we see more of it.
True. But, David, you have to agree with me that the NBA is more willing to allow it to be prominent as opposed to the way that some of the other leagues navigate it.
Well, you got fewer players and they've got a stronger voice.
I don't know about stronger. You want stronger voice. The NFL's got some pretty damn strong voices.
Well, you know what, though? The NFL doesn't speak out like the NBA.
Well, again, but you mentioned athletes, right? So the NFL as a league may not, but you want to talk about athletes and the power that, I mean, we hang on every word that comes out of a quarterback's mouth.
But that quarterback isn't going to go, I mean, the NBA's got a tight hold. And they've got a whole lot tighter hold on the players than the NBA does. Because the NBA is the market. I mean, if the NFL could, they would like to see contracts the way the NBA have.
Right. But, David, I feel like we're ships passing in the night here. The NBA may allow its players greater latitude, but with ratings tanking the way that they are, the NFL has a greater reach.
Oh, without question. They had a greater reach before any of this.
Right. So you said that the NBA has a louder voice, but I don't know that that's the case. If players in the NFL wanted to use their voices the same way, I mean, think about what happened last year with the whole mess around Drew Brees. And I mean, my God, the outcry was loud and far reaching. So the NFL does have a very extensive platform is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and Jerry Jones said his players better not kneel, and guess what?
I mean, right. Well, that's his prerogative. He owns the team. He's an employer.
That's what I'm saying. The players don't have the same ability to just buck the system that the NBA does.
In Seattle, they were welcome to do whatever they wanted. I mean, it's
true there.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's different ownership. It's different fan bases. I mean, the NFL has not made any carte blanche rule that teams cannot use their platforms. That's not accurate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me run. I've got to run. I'm at work.
All right, David.
Have a good one. I'll talk back at you.
All right. Thanks for calling from Dallas. 855-212-4227. I mean, all these leagues have a loud voice and can use it. The NFL, though, no doubt has the loudest because of its impact. I mean, the NFL drives the bus. I've said to you many times, it's the cash cow, the golden goose of sports leagues.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here on After Hours, we like you as much as you like us.
We have been jammed with phone calls tonight. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. First of all, I just want to tell you, a woman with sports, oh my goodness.
Boom!
What a pleasure it is to talk to you. I tell you, whenever I can't sleep during the night, I turn CBS Radio on. This program tonight is probably one of the best things I've ever heard.
I'm literally sitting in my vehicle just listening, and I'm like, why have I not been living life listening to Amy's show more often? I feel like I'm robbing myself.
You're part of the club now.
And there we go.
Totally won me over. I listened last night, heard two great reasons, and then tonight it got up to like 7 and 10, and I was like, she's on fire.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad we can keep you company.
You're my satellite.
is taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
We're going to get right back to your calls here. In the NBA's defense, so this is something I wanted to point out, is a bit of a counter to what we're seeing with TV viewership. The NBA does a massive footprint on social media. So even, and there's, that doesn't make up for what's happening with the ratings. I mean, to not even average 1.5 million viewers per game in this season, which is almost back to normal. I know there aren't full capacity crowds yet, but in terms of it being in its regular footprint and, you know, heading into the playoffs and teams playing in their own arenas, it's as close to normal as we were going to get in the pandemic. The ratings are down so badly that it wasn't that long ago, sometime in the last month, the NBA game on TNT was beaten by the professional wrestling event that was on TBS or USA or something like that. I mean, it's losing out to shows that never would have earned more viewers than the NBA in the past. So it's a definite problem. But yes, there is a sizable social media footprint for the NBA when it comes to not just their own social media accounts, but the number of people who engage or who follow NBA stars. So there's something to be said for that. That may be about a younger crowd and fans following their favorite sports teams in different ways. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, inside of an hour away from Ask Amy Anything, part of our Hump Show. So send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Let's talk to Josh, who's in Pennsylvania. Josh, what do you think?
Hey, how's it going, Amy? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you my personal opinion on the NBA thing. I haven't watched NBA in a long time, but last time I'd say it was like Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman.
You know, that was the last time you watched it? Wowzers.
Yeah.
You missed all the Warriors' incredible stuff?
Yeah. To me, it was more of that it and wow factor. You know, back in the day, almost everything they did made your jaw drop. You know, like I said, I grew up with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. It was like painting a picture, you know. Everything they did was just amazing. You know, it was highlight worthy. And I just felt like the NBA got away from that as time grew on. You know, that it and wow factor. I just, you know, there's more things I can do in my day than just sit around and watch basketball. It wasn't as entertaining anymore. To where, you know, the NFL, there's always constantly something going on. There's always, you know, hitting. There's always action. There's always excitement. To where the NBA just kind of fell off after, you know, all the old OGs retired and stuff. I just don't find it as entertaining anymore.
I got you.
So that's why I don't watch it.
I got you. I mean, I agree about the product, but can I introduce you to this one guy named Steph Curry who has the wow factor. Okay, good. Every now and then you might want to tune into a game that features the Warriors and Steph Curry, because as Draymond Green said on Tuesday night, we've got bleeping Steph Curry. I mean, he's worth the price of admission. And I would say there are others in the NBA who are, but what I love about the Warriors, and I talked about this during their run of five straight NBA finals, they remind me of why I fell in love with basketball in the first place. It's a team game. They like to get everybody involved, and it's not the ISO ball. It's not the type of hoops that you see. I mean, they shoot a lot of threes, to be sure, but they also pass the ball around a lot, which I love. So, you know, now and then, Josh, I think you might be wowed by one Steph Curry.
Well, yeah. Like, right now, I'm a 76ers fan. You know, I mean,
there you go.
I like Joel Embiid, you know, and stuff like that. But, I mean, I'm just not as big into it anymore as I used to be. And
Like
I said, it was just the wow and it factor was taken out for me.
All right. Well, I appreciate your opinion, Josh. Thanks so much for calling.
No problem. Thank you.
Brett is listening in Portland, Oregon. Brett, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey there. Love the show, but everybody says that.
So, not everybody, Brett. Not everybody.
Well, the last comments bring up whole other ideas for me. But the big thing for me with this NBA, and I want to love basketball, and I want to love the Trailblazers, and I want to love Damian Lillard because he's like the most likable
superstar
ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who just got off the phone saying there's no wow factor there, Steph Curry or Damian Lillard, the things that they can do, it's just, it's astonishing.
Wow,
but
yes.
My God, none of these teams have a chance. At the start of the season, midway through the season, at the start of the playoffs, it doesn't matter. There's like two or three, four teams that have a chance. And as a guy who grew up a Blazers fan, who grew up going to games, we've had season tickets for 20 years, and I stopped that about 8 years ago, you're just throwing money away. You're throwing you're throwing attention away trying to follow these teams because none of them have a chance. The super teams create, and they subvert all real competitive reality, and that's not the NFL. No one saw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming together as a team and winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, be honest. When Tom Brady joined the Buccaneers, what was the first thing people said? Oh, they're a Super Bowl contender. But I get you. When they were 7-5, you're right. There are people who were jumping off the bandwagon so fast they were breaking their legs.
Exactly. And even when they were hosting or when they were going to Washington for the wild card game, it wasn't. No one saw that coming, right? Like,
against Washington, maybe.
Well, okay. You saw the Washington win coming, but I mean, it's totally unpredictable in the NFL. It's real legitimate competition.
Agreed. You can go from worst to first. You can go from first to worst, and half the playoffs turn over every year in the NFL. Yes.
Right. It's a real team game. No one saw the Buffalo Bills doing what they did. It's just, that's real sports, and that's the kind of thing that you can claw and fight for. And that's real reality TV. And the NBA is made up reality TV. They spend all season long talking about what player's going to go where and who could do what. And my sources tell me and this, that, and the other stuff. And it's just drama. And it's got nothing to do with what's actually happening on the court. And then you get a team like...
You got about
like
10 seconds. 10 seconds, Brett.
You get a team like the Warriors, as great as they were. And then what do? They go out and they add Kevin Durant? I mean, my God, like, where's the fairness in this? It's not competition.
All right. I appreciate that. And I would agree with you on that point, Brett. I can't stand it how in the NBA everybody plays with his BFF. So I would agree with that. Thank you for your phone call from Portland. Also love the use of the word subvert. That's a great word. All right. So we'll continue with your phone calls. Plus, Urban Meyer explains what's actually going on with Tim Tebow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.